As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 306, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Coming off a big sports night, but we focused so far in the first hour on the Knicks. It is the playoffs. They are now tied 1-1 as they will take the series to Detroit for Game 3 on Thursday night alongside the draft. I don't know why they did that. Me and Fleegs were lamenting about that yesterday. Make the game on Wednesday. Why would you go up against the NFL draft? I mean, I guess you got to play some games against the NFL draft, but it's annoying for us New York with our terrible football and our top picks. So we're going to be focused on the NFL draft. But to me, things have to change with the Knicks. But and again, like I was, we're going to always compare this team to last year's team. And I know that the big ragu got into a little bit of a scuffle with Detroit a couple weeks ago. I thought obviously we saw the little bit of an issue on the court as the Knicks were making their run and, Hart threw a ball to the referee and Schroeder took an issue with it. I don't think the Knicks have given up an inch physically. Like, I don't think they're being manhandled. I don't think they're being out-toughed. I don't think they're being out-physicaled. I just think right now, they're playing really good defense, physical brand of defense that's making it difficult for the Knicks to get things going, but they've got to change the way they play the game right now. Like, there's just been no offensive game plan. So for me, I'm not worried about, I heard someone call into Keith and say, play Tucker and let's set the tone. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I think the Knicks have set the tone. I think the Knicks have set the tone that they're here to be physical. I don't feel that way. This is not a finesse team getting beat up the way, the Knicks beat up Cleveland a couple of years ago. That felt like, Garland and Allen weren't ready for the physical nature of basketball that the Knicks were bringing. Like, I don't get that sense here. I really don't. I do not get the sense that the Pistons are just manhandling the Knicks. That's been a talking point, that they were going to come in and play a physical brand of basketball. I think the Knicks have really matched them physically. Like, I just don't think they have any offensive, game plan right now. And that physical brand of basketball that they're playing is more suited to the style that the Pistons are playing. I've also noticed something defensively, and I briefly mentioned it just a second ago. I know, and I even think Clyde said it on the broadcast, with Cunningham. Now, they did a great job against him in game one. He didn't do much. In this game, I know they want to take away his right hand and make him go left. But you can't just let him get left to the basket. I mean, he was getting to the basket at will. I mean, you saw, I mean, OG was the one who defends him best, but you would see whether it's Bridges on him or anybody else on him or off the switch or whatever, like, they just faced him up and wouldn't let him go righty, and that's fine, but you can't let him just go straight to the basket. How many times do we see straight to the basket? He was able to get to the basket. He was able to get to the foul line. How many foul shots did he take in this game? 12 foul shots. It was way too easy for Cunningham to get to the basket in this game. They have got to make it more difficult. Now, he had a couple of shots that, you know, had a couple of shooter's touches and got a lucky bounce. Who hit that three that the... it was right. It was after the bank in from Deuce. So it felt like all's fair in love and war, but they hit a three-pointer that was just an unbelievable lucky roll. I think it was Schroeder again, probably, who killed them in this game. I mean, Dennis Schroeder was a huge factor in this game last night. 20 points. He's playing physical. He's playing good defense. He hit the open three. But defensively, Cunningham just can't have such an easy run to the basket. Like, it's nothing is as easy for the Knicks as it was for Cunningham to get to the basket last night. The Knicks have to find some easy baskets as well. It can't just be watching Jalen Brunson dribble it around and then hopefully either dish it out or get a shot. And if they're going to play that kind of basketball, then you need Brunson to score 50 to beat anyone, including the Pistons. 888-808-1019. We can get to the baseball as well, as the Mets' win streak is now up to 5 as they take the first game of this series with the Philadelphia Phillies, 5-4. Obviously, the big day from Lindor, who gives you 2 home runs, including the second game in a row with a leadoff home run. He hits the 3-run home run in the 7th to break the game kind of open from 2-0 to 5-0, and they needed every one of those runs, as you saw the bullpen finally falter a little bit as Kranich, who did pitch 2 innings, exits with 2 runners on, and Diaz gives up a 3-run home run to Stott, and he does end up getting the save, but Diaz has been a little up and down, but for the most part, like, again, I know Soto has had a better series, or at least did have a better series against the Cardinals, 0-4 in this game. Alonso's, 1-4 in this game. Nimmo's looked bad offensively for most of the season. He gets a hit. Winker with a home run. Acuna has been better. We could talk about the offense and Beatty and whether or not who's going to play center field, and Tyrone Taylor struggles, and I guess Siri, as David Stearns met with the media today. Siri is going to be out 8 to 10 weeks from the moment of the injury. There's a lot to talk about with this offense, who has, for the most part, struggled. Obviously, Alonso's been on fire, and now Lindor is looking like his MVP self from last year. But all of that, I'm having a tough time really looking at anything else but the Mets pitching. As Tylor Megill throws an absolute gem against, a Philadelphia lineup that's pretty damn good. Megill with 5 1/3, 1 hit, 4 walks, 10 strikeouts. Now, 4 walks is a lot, and that's kind of McGill's MO a little bit, and they've tried to get him inside the strike zone, and you saw him a little bit more inside the strike zone getting, strikeouts, but, I mean, he's pitching to a 1.09 ERA. This is a guy who wouldn't even be in the rotation if everyone was healthy. I don't know what else to say about this Met team. The atmosphere for these games, talking point. Soto, who is without question struggling here. For him. I mean, he's got his OPS now is just under 800. And that's struggling for Juan Soto. He's at 785 right now for an OPS, and he's hitting 244. He almost hits the 3-run home run that was clearly foul. But right now, it's about the pitching of this Met team. It is everybody they bring in. It has been unbelievable. Garrett gets out of the jam with a big strikeout of JT Realmuto. I don't know what else to say about what they're doing with this pitching staff. They have, without question, the best pitching staff in baseball. It's not close. And it's every game. I mean, yeah, I understand they scored five runs and Lindor. It's 5-0 going into the ninth inning. They are consistent. Like, this offensive struggle, this team would be, we would be having such a different conversation right now. Forget who's hitting behind Juan Soto. It's the pitching staff that's allowed us to not care that Juan Soto is struggling. I know we cared for the week I was gone. It became a big topic. But right now, they are winning. And it doesn't matter what the offense does. Someone's going to come up with enough of a, you know, Winker hits a home run. But it's either going to be Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Someone's going to give them enough in any given game because they don't need much. Like, it's hard to not talk about the pitching for this team. I was watching the game. I'm watching the game along with the Knicks. I didn't see every single play, but I was watching. I'm watching the game, and I'm just watching Tyler McGill carve up the Phillies to a tune of 10 strikeouts. Now, Nola's been bad this year. He is now 0-5. He wasn't all that bad in the game. He gives up the home run to Lindor. He gives up the home run to Winker. And then he kind of, you know, goes through the third, fourth, and fifth relatively easy until the Lindor home run. But this isn't even about the offense right now. This is what, like, the Mets pitching lab, I used to scoff at. I'll be the first to admit. Not that I didn't think they were good at it. What they did last year was remarkable. So I know that what they're doing with starting pitching and what they're doing with their pitching department has been successful. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, shut up about the pitching lab. But at the same time, I thought relying on it as much as I think they're relying on it was ridiculous. Or at least ridiculous is probably a bit strong, but short-sighted. But they are single-handedly carrying this team. I mean, every single starting pitcher they throw out is better than the day before. And, like, tomorrow I fully expect Griffin Canning going up against Sanchez to be dominant. I mean, this is what this team is doing right now. And as great as Lindor is, and clearly he's the captain and leader of this team, right? And these two home runs are enormous and getting, you know, and that was so great about him last year. And what, you know, made him an MVP candidate is when he moved to leadoff, it was what he was doing at to start the game. I mean, he had a long, what did he have, like an 8 or 9 game hitting streak in the first inning? It was an on-base streak. Yeah, he had like a long on-base streak to start the game. So, I mean, and right now you set the tone with home runs. And obviously as the walk-off home run, he's hit 4 home runs in the last 3 games. He gets 2 yesterday. He's starting to really round into shape earlier than he had been prior. But, like, there's a lot of question marks, right? There's question marks about center field. There's question marks about what happens when McNeil comes back. Did we get any update? I watched most of the press conference. Did we get any update on the third baseman? I don't know if there is an update on Vientos as of right now, but right now it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Acuna or Beatty are getting the at bats. It doesn't matter where they're going to put McNeil. It doesn't matter who they're going to try and play at center field to get their bat in the lineup because of Tyler Taylor's struggles. Doesn't matter. None of that matters when you pitch the way the Mets pitch. And to me, that's the story of the game. You get the big strikeout of Schwarber in the big spot from McGill. You get the big strikeout of Realmuto. Mark Vientos took ground balls earlier and is scheduled to take BP this afternoon, potentially available off the bench tonight. So he's going to be back relatively shortly. We saw Ben Rice, who's dealing with something, pinch hit for the Yankees last night. So hopefully both of those guys are back. But like right now, the pitching for the Mets is just out of control good. And McGill last night, I mean, you always knew this about Tyler McGill. Like the fastball's up to 97, 98. He's got good stuff. The Mets have been trying to, you know, he gets scared out of the strike zone. And even in this game, he walks too many guys with four walks. But he's able to make the big pitches. I thought Schwarber had a terrible at bat and swung on a miserable pitch. And you want to talk about terrible at bats? You want to see where is Bryce Harper's dad now? The guy who calls in is Bryce Harper's dad, because his at bat in the ninth inning was just atrocious. That could be, you know, I mean, he just swung at whatever was being thrown up there. It just felt like Bryce Harper was like, I'm just gonna guess fastball. And I'm going to swing for my heels, and if he throws me a fastball, I'm going to put it in the seats and tie this game up. And he just swung at everything. That last pitch was ridiculous that he swung at that ball in the dirt. But that's not the Mets' problem, as Diaz does get the save for his sixth of the season. He gives up the one hit, which is the home run. And the Mets have now won five in a row and look to take the series against Philadelphia tomorrow, but I mean, their pitching department, I know I went on about this yesterday. I don't know what else to say about the Mets. I got to be totally honest with you. It's one of those things where I can't say anything else because, like, we could talk about Soto's struggles. We could talk about a lot of the different things they could do with the lineup. You could talk about Nimmo hitting 200 because, really, the lineup has not been very good. Acuna with another hit, he's got his average up to 290, and he's winning the battle over, you know, Beatty when McNeil comes back. He gives you more defensively, he gives you more speed on the base path, and he's giving you better at-bats, and he's hitting 292. Lindor is obviously the star of this game with two home runs, but I just can't get over the fact that this starting pitching rotation that, again, last year, without question, was their biggest concern heading into the season. And by the end of the year, it was their biggest strength. And this year, the same thing, right? Nobody likes Frankie Montas. He goes down. Manaea is your, you know, the best starting pitcher you bring back. He's injured in spring training. Still haven't seen him throw a pitch. Kodai Senga did not pitch at all last year, and when he did in the postseason, he was awful, which is unfair, but he was. You're getting a converted reliever in Clay Holmes. You're bringing in probably the worst starting pitcher that was allowed to start every fifth day in Griffin Canning, and so far, they just put this team in a position to win every single night. And then you get to the bullpen. And it's just, I mean, what they're doing right now from, you know, Minter and Kranick and Reed Garrett and even Diaz, who's been a little shaky, obviously, with his ERA almost around six. Like, it doesn't matter who they bring in. Like, and I've been saying this a lot. This isn't to get on Mendy. Because I think Mendy's done a great job. I think Mendy is a excellent manager. You could have stuck with McGill a little bit longer in this game, but I thought he pulled him right at the right moment. Like, he's done a really great job. But I have to admit, it's not hard. I hate to say this because I don't want to diminish what he's done. But let's be honest, who could he do? What could he do to ruin this? It doesn't matter who he brings in. He's getting successful pitching from them. Like, he could bring in anyone in any spot. Brazaban, like, it doesn't matter. Everyone in this bullpen, you know, Buto's kind of been up and down and has not been as good as he was last year when he became a real weapon out of the pen. But, I mean, right now, whoever is on the mound for the Mets is dominant. And they took it to the Phillies last night, who look lost. They've got the next two games. They got, you know, one more win, take a series, and they've played excellent at home. And that's the other story around the Mets right now, is the feeling in the ballpark, the amount of people that are there, the way they've played, the way the crowd has been behind them, the energy. Like, it's been a different April than we have seen at Citi Field in a long time. And it goes back to the owner questioning the fan base, talking about how many people were at the ballpark last year as they were going through a pennant race, his frustration with it. And the team goes out and signs Juan Soto, and they've played every bit the, you know, they are right now, without question, the best team in the division. And right now it feels like a party every night at Citi Field. They're 10-1 at Citi Field. They've been a dominant home team, which has been a problem for them and was last year at the start of the season. And right now, Citi Field is the place to be. The Yankees drop one to Cleveland. Clark Schmidt, who is so important to the New York Yankees, who desperately needs someone else in that rotation to pitch well outside of the ace, Max Fried, he kind of had nothing. The one thing I'll say about it, though, if you watch the game, the inning he gives up the three-run home run and then the solo home run, the four runs he gives up, we really haven't talked about Jason Dominguez's defense. Dominguez hits a ball 445 feet or something for a two-run shot. He's been pretty good offensively. Came through with the big double against Kansas City. He has not hit well right-handed besides that double that won them the game with the bases loaded. But young player, offensively looks good left-handed, and it really hasn't been an issue defensively. All of the fears defensively about Jason Dominguez have kind of subsided because he's making the routine play. But the next thing for him, he is afraid to take chances. The start of that inning is a little looping line drive out to left field that apparently had a 75% catch rate. He is afraid of turning a single into a triple. He is not attacking low sinking line drives. He is afraid to make a mistake. And that ball needs to be caught. And hopefully that would have, you know, that could have changed the inning. But the point is, you know, it's only Clark Schmidt's second start, but the defense from Dominguez has been fine. He hasn't cost them. He hasn't made bad plays. He hasn't dropped balls. He doesn't look like he's lost out there. But the next step for him in his progression, which is why I still understand why the manager and people get mad about it. Like, I'm sorry. Can you shut up? Like, all the people out there on social media and Yankee fans who are complaining about taking Jason Dominguez out of games late for defensive purposes, watch the games. He's not killing them, sure, but he is not a good left fielder yet. That ball needs to be caught in the third inning of this game. It absolutely needs to be caught. And if that's the ninth inning, I want someone out there who can catch it. They've handled him perfectly. Everyone said he couldn't play left field, and here he is and playing it fine for the most part, just not excellent at it and not ready to really, you know, make big time plays. He's just not dropping the easy ones. And all we're screaming about is why the hell you playing him in left field, playing him in center. He's going to suck in left field. He's been fine to the point where now we're screaming that the manager is doing the right thing and taking out Jason Dominguez for late defensive purposes. Like, that's exactly what he should be doing, utilizing the roster.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It boggles my mind. Boggles my mind the problems Yankee fans create that don't exist. But right now, the starting pitching is a problem. And it's only Clark Schmidt's second start. I'm going to give him a break. He's coming back from the injury, but they need him to be better. The Yankees have won the last two series, and they won 6 out of 7. It's not the end of the world. They did battle back. Jazz Chisholm with a two-run home run. I mentioned the Dominguez two-run home run. They had the tying run at the plate in the ninth. But this starting pitching has been so poor. And now they've got Will Warren, who didn't get out of the first inning his last start. And that's the other thing. It's been forcing the bullpen to throw all of these innings. And we've already seen Williams not be able to pitch 2 out of the last 3. And I know he was bad in the one he did pitch. Weaver hasn't been able to go because he's, you know, in big spots all the time because he's been thrusted into so much work. Like, this starting rotation, not only has it been terrible, but it's been forcing the bullpen to throw so much that you're getting even worse performances from them, even though it was better during the Kansas City series. You're seeing Cruz really step up. You're seeing different guys really step up. Weaver hasn't given up a run yet this year. But the starting pitching is really the one problem. The offense isn't as dynamic as it was the first series, but it's been okay. But the starting pitching is where the Yankees are really struggling right now. Carrasco, you can't count on. Rodon has been better than people, you know, will tell you, but he's scary. At any moment, it feels like it can unravel for him still. I think that's more than fair to say, even though I do think he's throwing the ball pretty well. Who knows what you're getting out of Will Warren? And if Clark Schmidt is not going to be that second guy you can rely on, the Yankees have a major problem with the rotation. But even, you know, so far, you got to feel good about both baseball teams. The Mets are pitching their ass off. They're winning at home every single night. They've now won 5 games in a row, took the first game of a Philadelphia series, and the Yankees have won 6 out of their last 8 and did battle back in this game last night. It's a frustrating loss, but you take the next 2 out of 3 and you move on. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Let's get to Ralph in Long Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy, how are you?
Very good. The answer to the pain is Hefner. I love this guy.
Yeah.
I think the pitch is there. He's unbelievable. And, you know, Mendoza, I was a little shaky. I said, The pitching is unbelievable.
The pitching is like, it's on another level. I can't, like,
it's
crazy how good they are on a night out, night in basis. I mean, McGill last night, I mean, he hasn't been perfect this year, but last night, I mean, 10 strikeouts, his fastball was getting swing and miss.
Better. He used to have that dopey look.
Yeah. He's attacking the zone more. Even though he walked four guys, he's attacking the zone more.
See, Mac, it's like I won $1 million. Very enjoyable. Get more tickets, but I'll tell you, I keep seeing this card. I'm dreaming about this card. I know, I don't know. If we get Sanders, you think I'm going to be all right? I'm not going to have a heart attack and pass out?
No, I mean, I can't guarantee. I think the Giants will be all right. But
you think it's the move? You think it's the move, Mac?
I think they need the quarterback.
I know you know the Giants. You bleed blue like me. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm hoping.
I think they need the quarterback. I think, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. I know how you feel about Carter, and I understand that. I saw Phil Simms say if he's there, they should take him. It's not that I don't think Carter's going to be a good player. That edge rushers aren't important. I just think the Giants are in a position where they need the quarterback, and you can't keep it's funny because everyone loves the quarterback until it comes time to take one. Then all of a sudden, there's a million reasons not to do it. Like, at some point, they're going to have to take a chance on their quarterback. And you are hearing reports now that the Giants are kind of mixed, that there's a lot of voices in the room that do believe in Shedeur Sanders and a lot of voices that don't. Now, I don't know what any of this means. I'll tell you this right now. I heard Evan talking about this. Evan and I have always talked about this. I don't believe anything that is said by anyone associated with any NFL team through March and April. I just don't. I don't believe a single thing that's said. It is all misdirection. It is all not tipping your hand. It is all secrets and lies. So I don't know. I don't know where exactly the Giants are. I mean, if I'm reading the tea leaves and listening to everybody else, yeah, it sounds like they're not going to take a quarterback with the third pick. But I would not be surprised if they do. Because you have to come out of this draft. I don't know how you could think anything other than the Giants have to come out of the draft with some sort of future quarterback. And it can't just be a flyer late in the game. Like, it's got to be with a premium pick to warrant the idea that he's the guy. Or that they're at least going to give him a try. Like, there has to be a value to this. You know, and I saw, you know, Milroe on with Kay Adams, and she was talking about the relationship with his relationship with Malik Nabers and the idea that Malik Nabers is getting in the Giants' ear about how talented Milroe is. Look, I'm just telling you. Now the reports are that they love, that the Giants really like Shedeur Sanders or Jaxson Dart. Now, maybe not enough to pick them third overall if they absolutely love Hunter or Carter, but that those are the two quarterbacks they would like to come away with one of them, and that the Giants still want a quarterback somewhere in the top 30, 34 picks, which is where they're picking second. I think they have to come away with a quarterback there. I think in the first two draft picks, the first two rounds, you have got to come out with a quarterback. Because what's the plan? What are you selling? Like, I've gone over this a bunch. We'll see where we are on Thursday. I understand if the Giants believe that they have a world-class edge rusher, pass rusher, who is going to dominate the game, and you put him there with Dexter Lawrence and Burns and Thibodeau, and you're talking about having the best pass rush in the NFL, and that's too much to pass up for a quarterback that you hope you can transition into something, I guess I understand it. I don't know if I love it, but I understand it. But you can't have no major quarterback taken. You can't, even just a flyer is BS. You need the future of the organization. You need a game plan. You need to be able to look this ownership in the face and say, here's our future. I got a great player, and I got the quarterback who I deem, is good enough to be the future quarterback of the Giants. Otherwise, what's the plan? Russell Wilson? Like, that can't be the plan. You can't save these guys' jobs and then just allow them to give you no plan at the quarterback position. That's who they are. That's what they do. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
I couldn't agree with you more. They need a quarterback. I mean, really, they've got to be kidding me. Jameis, interception, waiting for a pick six to happen. And Russell Wilson, when was the last time he played really, really well?
Really well? Back to his Seattle days. But he played well enough to early on in the season last year when he came back from the injury in week six. He played well enough to turn Pittsburgh into a playoff team. It's not like I don't think he's incapable of winning, but he's not your future quarterback.
How old is he now? 35?
Yeah, something like that. He's not the future. He's not the plan. Like, I don't even know if I want to go into next year with him. Like that.
No.
Like I want to build the team. Like he is a bridge quarterback, but it's got to be a bridge to somewhere. It can't be a bridge to nowhere. It's got to be a bridge to bridge somewhere.
The bridge is Tommy DeVito. Please, no. They got to get a quarterback. Get into the Yankees.
Yeah.
Clark Smith has to step up. I mean, right now, who do we have as who's the starting rotation? Max Fried. Everybody's a question mark.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Clark Schmidt and Carlos Rodon have to step up.
Carlos Rodon is one bad play away from imploding every time.
Well, he didn't do it last time.
No, he pitched well last time.
Here's the thing about Carlos, and thank you for the call, Stu. I will say this about Carlos Rodon. I was annoyed after the one before San Francisco. Obviously, he was pitching really well and then gave up the terrible home run on a hideous changeup. He's had two starts like that. I would say this, though. Carlos Rodon is throwing the ball as well as he ever has in a Yankee uniform. Carlos Rodon's been really good. I know. You could laugh at me. You could say whatever you want. Watch the games. He's imploded. He's made the killer mistake, and that's his issue. But he hasn't imploded to the point of just getting beat up. He's been missing bats. He's been in games. He's gone through the first five innings like a hot knife through butter on most of his starts. He has been really good. It's felt even different to me than previous seasons. And last start against Tampa Bay was a start that he kind of battled through and was able to get through it. Now, the Tampa Bay lineup hasn't been that terrible. They've scored some runs. I think they're fourth in the American League in runs scored so far in this early season, and they shut them out twice in this series, and once by Max Fried, once by Carlos Rodon. I think Carlos Rodon is getting a little bit too much flack. I think to start the year, he's been pretty damn good. He's made a couple of mistakes that cost them games, no doubt. But I think he's throwing the ball as well as he has. And if he could just figure out how not to make that killer mistake, that's a huge positive for the Yankees. So to me, the two question marks right now are clearly Cookie Carrasco and Will Warren. And we know Max Fried is an ace. The season is literally hanging in the balance of Clark Schmidt and Carlos Rodon. Those right now are probably the two most important Yankees on the entire team. The two most important Yankees right now are Carlos Rodon and Clark Schmidt. And that's a little bit of a scary proposition. 888-808-1019. We'll get more into the baseball as we head through. I have some more thoughts on the Yankee game as well as the Mets and their pitching staff. But really, the Mets are just on a roll. 5 in a row. They're 16-7 in first place. They're 10-1 now at home. And they look to take the series later today against Philadelphia with Griffin Canning on the mound. Does it matter? Does it matter who the starting pitcher is? Apparently not.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:44, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We opened the conversation up to baseball at 888-808-1019. I did want to just talk about Jazz for a second with the Yankees, because he hits a two-run home run in this game. He's really struggling right now. He's striking out a ton. But he hits a two-run home run in this game to make it 6-4 in the eighth inning. He now has 7 home runs. And he is hitting 161, and his on-base percentage is .255. But he's got 7 home runs, and he's driven in some runs. He leads the team. He's tied with Judge now in homers. But my main problem with this is, like, Jazz has been really good since he was traded over to the Yankees last year. And he wasn't so great in the playoffs, but besides that, he's been really good. And then to start the year, like, it's 20-something games in, and he's shown immense power, which is positive, because they really don't have, right, we're waiting on Bellinger to get hot. He's been awful, hitting .183. He hits into a killer double play in the first inning. There's multiple times this year the Yankees have gotten the first two guys on of the game and have not been able to do anything with it. It seems like for early season struggles, bad at-bats in extra innings and bad at-bats after the leadoff hitter and Judge get on have been issues. But my problem with Jazz is, like, I don't want Jazz to be this type of player. It's not utilizing the skill set that I think would benefit the Yankees a lot. It's helped them so far in this year because they're not getting home runs from really anyone else. I mean, early on they were, but if you look at the team, like, obviously Volpe, his early 4 home runs weren't going to continue all year. He's not a power hitter, and he's really struggled as well. You know, Wells has clearly cooled off. He's hitting under 200 without much power. He hits into a big double play too in this game. Bellinger hasn't done much. Goldschmidt is hitting .372, but with no real power. So right now the Jazz home runs have been very important, because they need someone to hit home runs. You got to hit home runs. But ultimately, like, the vision I had of the bottom of this order with Jazz, Volpe, and Dominguez has been to create issues on the base paths. And not that I mind home runs. They're always good. And I'm probably arguing about how I typically discuss home runs with callers. But I was really looking to create, you know, Jazz has got to do a better job of putting together a better at-bats and getting on base. This isn't, you know, I don't want Jazz to be a .230 hitter with 25 to 30 home runs. Like, I don't want him to be that type of player. And right now, that's what he's on. Right now, he is a home run or nothing. Now, he's very good defensively. He makes that great play to preserve what we thought was a no-hitter for Fried. He's been far better than Gleyber Torres there. And ultimately, again, 7 home runs to start the year have been very impactful and very useful. And right now, he's one of the few guys hitting home runs. But 161 with the amount of strikeouts is just not the kind of player I was hoping from Jazz. And the only reason why I also bring it up is because he's talked about trying, you know, I think it's tongue-in-cheek mainly, but he's talked about trying to keep up with Judge, and he's talked, like, I don't want, like, Jazz needs to be a guy who puts the ball in play a hell of a lot more than he has. And that bottom of the order, and because you look at it, Volpe, really, he's living off of a couple of big hits and mainly home runs. Like, you look at his, everyone, if you look at, like, people who are defending Volpe early on in the season, they're pointing to his OPS, which is in the mid-700s, which is better for him. What is it now? 735, which is better, far better than his career. His F-WAR and all those numbers are better. That's because he had 4 home runs early on in the season. But I was looking for those 3 guys specifically, Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, to be real threats on the base path and create a lot of havoc. And, like, this team is clearly far more athletic and better defensively. Like, that's, we didn't really get a chance to talk too much about that yesterday. You look at that series against the Tampa Bay Rays, they were incredible defensively. Whether it was the play that Volpe makes in the hole, and even obviously how good Goldschmidt's been at first, but Volpe makes that incredible play in the hole and makes that great throw, and it's scooped up by Goldie, or whether it's Grisham in outfield, who obviously Grisham left the team to for paternity leave, and congratulations, I guess, will soon to be in order. I don't think he's had his child yet, but congratulations will be in order for the Grishams. Hopefully he can get back as soon as possible because he's been an integral part of this team so far this year. But whether it's him out in the outfield, making great plays and turning double plays off of balls that were, you know, the wind there in that ballpark was crazy. Or was Judge running, throwing guys out of third. Like, this team is doing a lot of things differently and better than they have prior. They are much younger, they're better on the base path, and they're far better defensively, far better. But that bottom of the order has not been what I hoped it would be. It's shown some power early on, and Jazz has hit 7 home runs. But they are not getting on base nearly enough. They are not creating runs at the bottom. They're very rarely turning the lineup over to the top with guys on. They just haven't been what I had hoped. And Jazz is like the perfect example. I don't think the Yankees are best served with Jazz being a 25 to 30 home run guy with bad on base percentage. Like, I think that's not the kind of player I would expect from Jazz. Now, home runs are never bad. 25 to 30 home runs sound great, and hopefully they're impactful. But I was looking for Jazz to be a different type of dynamic player for them. And right now, listen, it's early on, but he is really struggling, even with the home run. I would have rather have almost seen it, since they lost the game anyway, I'd almost rather see a single and a stolen base. Like, that's the kind of game you're looking for Jazz here. Not that it's more difficult, like that caller suggested once. Told me singles are more difficult. I just think Jazz's style of play right now has kind of been all or nothing. And I was really hoping for him, Volpe, and Dominguez to be a different kind of, so like him and Dominguez hit home runs in this game. That's great. You need home runs. And I, like I said, you're really not getting it from anywhere but Judge at the moment. But I had a bet with Evan. I remember we do that dopey Met Yankee bet. And I have home runs from Soto, Alonso, and I guess Lindor. I'm trying to think of I think it's the 3 of them versus the stolen bases of Chisholm, Volpe, and Dominguez. And I'm getting creamed. And Soto hasn't even gone off yet. They need these guys on base more at the bottom of the lineup because that's how they're going to create runs. And they're good at it. They've shown it when they get on. They're just not getting on enough. And hopefully Ben Rice will be back because we're seeing what Ben Rice can do for this lineup. But ultimately, right now it's hard. I know Yankee fans are always desperate to find problems. Look, they've, as of yesterday, had the best record in the American League. They're in first place. they're dealing with injuries. They're waiting for, you know, you're still waiting on relievers. You're still waiting on starters. This team is going to look different. They're going to add to it. But right now, it's hard to complain about where clearly the Mets are, and it's hard to complain about where the Yankees are. It's not good for business. It's too much positivity from both baseball teams. I'm very positive about the Yankees, and I don't know how you can't be uber positive about the Mets right now. Too much positivity with our baseball teams. I got to find something to complain about, so I'll give you Jazz is hitting too many home runs. And obviously the Devin Williams conversation and the, you know, the, which continues to amaze me. He's not even close to being the best reliever. Okay. Yes, he is. Look at his career. He is close to being the best reliever. And if he's not, he's like the second or third best reliever. He's a premium relief pitcher. Premium. And he will be fine. He is the least of my concerns with this Yankee team. I am much more concerned about this starting rotation. And we'll see what Will Warren can provide. Because here's the issue with the Yankees and their starting pitching. There's nowhere else to go. There's no one in the farm system. Will Warren is going to continue to make starts. Cookie Carrasco is going to continue to make starts. And when Stroman is healthy, he'll come back and continue to make starts up until 140 innings, because then they got to cut that crap out. Because they can't give him another $18 million next year.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.